Today's episode of Locked On Yankees is brought to you by RockAuto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit RockAuto.com and tell them Locked On sent you.
You are Locked On Yankees, your daily New York Yankees podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are listening to the Locked On Yankees podcast, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Stacey Gottsoulias, and I'm the host of Locked On Yankees. I'm a baseball writer, I'm a podcast host, and you may have read my work at places like Baseball Prospectus, the Hardball Times, Sporting News, and the ESPN Sweet Spot blog. You can find us on Twitter at Locked On Yankees, all one word. You can find me on Twitter at StaceGotts. Please feel free to tweet questions or comments to either account. If you're a new listener, hello and welcome. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. I hope you all enjoy today's episode. The Yankees don't play until 6 this evening, but they played yesterday, and I have all the news you need to know about that game. Davey Garcia had a little bit of trouble against Toronto's lineup. I'll tell you all about that. We also have news about possible roster changes because we're only a week out from opening day, so things are happening. And we have sad news to report. Dr. Bobby Brown, who was the last surviving member of the 1947 World Series winning Yankees, passed away at the age of 1996. First, you can get Locked On Yankees and all other Locked On podcasts straight to your phone in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Radio.com, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Yankees. Let's start off with the news about Dr. Bobby Brown. I am so sad. I'm not sad that he, you know, he lived 96 years. He had an incredible life. He played baseball. He served in wars. He became a cardiologist. He was the president of the American League. This man did so much in his life. It's unbelievable. I'm just sad because when I first started going to Old Timers Day, a lot of the guys from the 40s and 50s were still around. He's one of the last ones left. So it's just depressing to know that when you go to Old Timers Day now, it'll even be rare to see guys from the 60s because of the way time goes by. I mean, I know it's inevitable. Everyone dies and everyone gets old and it all goes by really quickly. It's just, it's what a bummer. I remember a few years back at Old Timers Day, because Old Timers Day is the one day that I have to go to every year. And I missed it, obviously, last year with COVID. They didn't have it. If they're having Old Timers Day this year, I will do everything in my power to get there, even if I have to do something illegal. I'm kidding. I would never do anything illegal. But if I have to call in a favor to get there, I will do that. One of the last times I was there, maybe not the last time, but the time before that. So 2018, I was tweeting out pictures of everyone, and I tweeted out a picture of Dr. Bobby Brown. And teen idol Sean Cassidy, who follows me on Twitter for some unknown reason, quote tweeted my picture of him and basically said, you know, wow, that's so cool, or, you know, respect, because Dr. Bobby Brown was just amazing. And the fact that he was the last guy from the 47 team around, it's amazing. So that's sad news. And again, I will tell you all the stuff that he did. I mean, I did list it quickly, but I mean, unbelievable. He won 4 rings with the Yankees. He served in the Korean War. He became a cardiologist. He was the president of the American League for 10 years. Rob Manfred put out a statement, said, Dr. Bobby Brown led an extraordinary life, which included great accomplishments on the baseball field and as a leader and executive in our game. He was a quiet star in each of the 4 World Series in which he played, a popular Yankee teammate and close friend of Yogi Berra and Joe DiMaggio. As president of the American League for a decade, Dr. Brown was an outstanding ambassador for the national pastime and a trusted advisor to 5 commissioners. Dr. Brown's achievements outside of baseball were even more impressive. While he always remained a proud Yankee who enjoyed returning to New York for Old Timers Days, Dr. Brown's many friends and admirers will first remember him as a true gentleman and a caring family man. On behalf of Major League Baseball, I extend my deepest condolences to Dr. Brown's 3 children, his many grandchildren, and his great-grandchildren. Again, when I first started going to Old Timers Days in the 90s, I would be there with my friends, and we would always, I mean, it was, we were in our 20s, so we would always laugh at the older guys, because you would always be able to tell who the older guys were, not just from their gray hair or their bald heads. You could always tell the older guys because their pants were hiked up really high. So you would see them and think, okay, that guy played in the 40s, that guy played in the 50s, because as they got younger, their pants, their belts went lower on their bellies. And, you know, the last time Dr. Bobby Brown was at Yankee Stadium for Old Timers Day was 2019, and I will say his belt was pretty high, but again, the man was 94 at the time. So anyway, an amazing life, an amazing career, very sad news today, Dr. Bobby Brown dies at the age of 96. Again, from that famous 1947 team, he also won other World Series, but it's just the fact that he was the last one standing from that 1947 team. I think I've told this story. I'll tell it again in case you're a new listener. My brother always likes to tease me because out of my immediate family, so me, mom, dad, brother, I'm the only one who wasn't born in a World Series winning year. My late father was born in 1941. My mother was born in the aforementioned 1947. My brother was born in 1978, and I was born in 1974. So not only did the Yankees not make a World Series or win a World Series in 1974, they were playing in Shea Stadium because Yankee Stadium was being renovated and didn't reopen again until 1976. But I will say this, me and the rest of my 1974 babies who were born before November can proudly say that the New York Yankees won their 25th, 26th championships when we were 24, 25, and 26, which is a very cool play with numbers. And I think I told this story. We buried my dad with a Yankee cap that had a 1941 World Series patch on the side of it. The Yankees put out a statement about Dr. Bobby Brown. Hal Steinbrenner said, "Few people who have worn the pinstripes have lived such an accomplished, fulfilled, and wide-ranging life as Dr. Brown, who was beloved by our organization for his warmth, kindness, and character. He represented the pinstripes with elegance throughout his playing career and in subsequent decades as a frequent, welcome guest at Old Timers Day. We also hold the utmost respect for the myriad of other accomplishments in his life, from service to our country, his stewardship of the American League, and his longtime career as a cardiologist. The Yankees extend their deepest condolences to his family, friends, and loved ones as we reflect on his incredible life." I have a quick update for you on Justin Wilson, who left the game the other day shaking his arm, which didn't look good, on Monday against the Phillies. He was sent for an MRI, and it showed nothing actionable regarding the tightness in his shoulder. Aaron Boone said, "I feel like overall we have pretty good news on the MRI front, but he is dealing with some soreness. We'll see where we are at as the next couple of days unfold, and then we'll see where that leaves us." Now, we're fans of the Yankees, so even though the MRI didn't show anything, we're fully expecting that he's going to need, like, shoulder replacement in 2 days. So right now, things seem okay with Justin Wilson. In a moment, I'll be updating you on Davey Garcia's performance last night against the Blue Jays. But first, do you own a car? Because if you do own a car, you should go to rockauto.com. Rockauto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get podcasts. So Davey Garcia pitched last night and didn't look great. I will say, he pitched three innings, gave up four runs on seven hits. He struck out two, walked two, he gave up two home runs. One was to Bo Bichette, the other was Teoscar Hernandez. The Teoscar Hernandez one was a bomb to center field. he looked like he was having a little bit of trouble with his command. I noticed it early in his performance. Like, right away, I noticed he was having trouble. He was trying to throw inside, but he was throwing a little too inside, and Sanchez was trying to get him to not throw so far inside, and it just didn't look like the ball was going where he wanted it to go. That happens. And the Blue Jays are a good hitting team, so, you know, giving up four runs on seven hits in three innings to the Blue Jays could be a thing that happens often this year because of their offense. And the Yankees ended up losing last night's game 5-0. Another thing that keeps happening, every time I watch a game, I keep saying last night, it was the afternoon. It was sunny out when I watched that game. Because Michael Kay, Don LaGreca, and Peter Rosenberg worked a couple of the innings on Yes. Rucco and Paul O'Neill started the game, and then they let Kay, LaGreca, and Rosenberg do the game. And as soon as they started doing the game, that's when everything really fell apart for Davey Garcia. I'm not blaming them, I'm just saying. But it always seems as if whenever I watch a game, DJ LeMahieu does nothing. He was 0 for 3 again yesterday. He had one strikeout. Aaron Judge had a good hit. Giancarlo Stanton had a good hit. And a base hit. Giancarlo Stanton's was, it looked pretty hard. Judge was just, you know, your regular run-of-the-mill base hit. And I joked on Twitter yesterday because people are bringing up the fact that Judge has not hit a home run yet, but not a lot of the Yankees have hit home runs so far this spring training. Maybe they're waiting for the regular season. I joked that Judge will go homerless all spring and then hit a home run in his first at bat on opening day. Don't hold me to it, but I did joke about that. On the good news front in last night's game, Gary Sanchez was 2 for 3. That's always a good thing. So was Brett Gardner. Because Sanchez had started off spring training doing okay, then he had a bit of a slump there, and people were wondering, oh boy, is it going to be the same thing as 2020? And last night he seemed to turn things around a little bit. He says he's always making adjustments with his balance at the plate, so hopefully if he keeps making adjustments, he'll see better results. I've mentioned reliever Nick Nelson a few times this past week, and he had some things to say about his chances of making the bullpen, which are even better now because of Justin Wilson's injury. Even though I mentioned earlier the MRI didn't show anything, he's still dealing with soreness, and of course because Zach Britton will be missing the first 3 months of the season. So this is what Nick Nelson had to say about his chances of being a big part of that bullpen.
Nick, how satisfied are you with your spring to this point when you enter camp knowing that you had a chance to grab a bullpen spot?
I feel pretty good about how the way I've thrown the spring training, you know. Feel like my pitches are working and worked hard this offseason to try to get that fastball command better than the previous year. So, yeah, I'm pretty satisfied with the way I've been throwing it.
Fastball command aside, is there anything different about the way you're throwing this year as opposed to last season?
Not really. I've been, I guess, working on my slider this offseason pretty heavy too. Last year it kind of just turned into a curveball, so I quit throwing my curveball and started trying to rip a slider, you know, so I'm really trying to get a four-pitch mix instead of three.
And what would it mean to you to make this team?
I mean a lot. Especially for making the opening day roster, you know. Spent a couple years in the minor league, so it'd be pretty awesome to make the opening day roster.
Nick, what is something that you learned from last year and how difficult it was overall that you can apply to this season?
that I'm not facing minor league hitters no more. that I really have to execute pitches, you know, and especially big spots. I can use all my pitches coming out the bullpen instead of, you know, not really using all of them once through a lineup, you know, because I have to face him two or three more times as a starter. So definitely throwing all my pitches and establishing them, you know, I can throw them from strikes and whatnot.
Nick, if you were to be used out of the bullpen, are there specific challenges to being used more frequently that, you know, because of, you've been used as a starter your entire career mostly, there are different things, maybe routines or the ability to bounce back quicker? Are there certain challenges that you might have to get used to?
There was last year. I worked on recovery pretty hard this offseason, just because I knew that I probably wasn't going to be a starter this year. You know, so I've been working on recovery, kind of experimenting with stuff to see what helps me recover more. You know, on the days that I didn't feel as great, I guess that day, I look back and think what I did that night to say, okay, well, I need to do this different and I need to do that different so I can feel my best the next day.
Are there specifics to that, like things that you can share?
I mean, I've been pretty heavy on the cherry juice because I know that's good for recovery. Get extra sleep, you know. That's about it, you know. Just I think sleep was the main thing. I know during the season it's a little harder to get an extra sleep because you have later games and then you're still kind of hyped up from the games that you just pitched. So it's I think that was a big challenge last year, is actually sleeping.
Two things I took away from those clips of Nick Nelson talking. One, I didn't know cherry juice was a thing, and I may want to try it. And two, I'm jealous of anyone who can get sleep because I got an hour of sleep last night. Mike Tauchman had some things to say about making his case for being on the Yankees roster in 2021. I don't see how he doesn't make the roster. But I think it's funny because he answered a question from Eric Boland of Newsday saying that he doesn't think about the roster and whether or not he's going to make it. And then Meredith Marakovitz followed up with this.
Hey, Mike, just following up a little bit on Eric Boland's question to your response to that and you saying you don't really think about the roster and the situation about making the roster. How do you not think about that? And do you feel as though you've shown enough to make this team this year?
I don't have any say in that. So I've personally been happy with my level of at-bat. I've been happy with the way I've played the outfield, and I've been happy with how my body's felt. I think that I'm in a position to play at a high level in the major leagues this year, and to me that's much more of a priority than worrying about what people way above my pay grade are going to do. So I'm focused on playing baseball. I'm focused on today, and that's really as far in the future as I'm looking.
And how do you get yourself in that aggressive mode you spoke about at the plate where you're ready to go all the time?
I mean, you just can't be afraid of failure, you know? I think that, you know, the level, I think we've seen it in the spring. Like, I mean, obviously yesterday was a little bit of a longer game, but Saturday in Sarasota, we played a 2-hour, 15-minute, 9-inning game. And that speaks to the high level of pitching that I think has been, it's higher than ever. And the stuff guys are showing is better than ever. So it's that much more important for you, for the individual hitter to lock in on what he's trying to accomplish at the plate and have an idea of the pitches that he wants to swing at and not want to swing at. So I think a lot of that is preparation before the at-bat, and then a lot of that is being able to remain relaxed and, you know, focused but not tight in the batter's box.
One takeaway from Tauchman's audio is when he said to not be afraid of failure. I feel as if everyone can take that advice, including myself. In a moment, I'll be telling you what to expect from tonight's game in Clearwater against the Phillies, including the starting lineup. But first, BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. You can bet on NBA, college basketball, NHL. You can even bet on award shows, TV shows, and reality TV. You get real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine, including who you think's going to win the World Series, who you think's going to win the Cy Young, the MVP, Rookie of the Year, Manager of the Year. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. We've been telling you all about Built Bar, the best-tasting protein bar on the market for a while now. Built Bar is the incredible low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber, amazing-tasting protein bar with 100% chocolate on all bars. Now is the time to find out which Built Bar is the best. It is Built Bar Madness. Today's matchup, mint brownie against coconut puff. Okay, full disclosure, I've never had coconut puff. You all know I love mint brownie. If you've listened to this podcast for longer than a month, you know that I love gushing about mint brownie. It is so good. So you can go to builtbar.com or bar_built on Twitter to vote for your favorite bar. Again, I'll be voting for mint brownie. Remember, use the promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order at builtbar.com. That's next, not first. So you could have ordered a bunch of boxes of mint brownie and you'll still get that 15% off. Again, that is LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order at builtbar.com. And check back to see who won today's matchup and who will become the best tasting protein bar. The Locked On MLB Division Preview Series continues on Locked On MLB Today. Every episode from now until the 31st features in-depth looks at each team in every division. It's all on the Locked On MLB podcast feed right now. Follow Locked On MLB on the radio.com app or wherever you get podcasts. So as I said, the Yankees are in Clearwater and they will be facing the Phillies because they face the Phillies every other day, it seems. It's a 6:05 start tonight. Michael King will be getting the start for the Yankees, and here is your lineup. DJ LeMahieu, Aaron Judge, Aaron Hicks, Giancarlo Stanton, Luke Voit, Gleyber Torres, Gio Urshela, Clint Frazier, Kyle Higashioka, and as I said, Michael King is starting. This looks to be your opening day lineup minus Higashioka, but everyone else in that order should be what you see opening day a week from now. I'll keep saying it. Opening day is a week from now. I'm very excited about this. And you'll see the regulars more in the games now that spring training is dwindling down to its end. So I noticed that there is an article on Yankees.com that's called LeMahieu As Big As They Come at Second. And then I noticed that it was written by Mike Lupica, which, if you don't know, Mike Lupica is not very tall. I actually have a very funny story. Well, yeah, no, it's funny. Before the strike in 1994, I attended a game at Yankee Stadium. I think it was 2 or 3 days before the strike. And I don't know why. I have no idea why Mike Lupica was standing anywhere near us. But our seats were on the main level. We're working our way out to the seats. My dad got separated from us. And when I turned around, I see my dad, who's big. He was big. He was 6'2". And Mike Lupica is standing in front of my father, and my father pretends to bop him on the head because he's so much shorter than him. And I just died laughing. I thought it was so funny. Mike Lupica was my hero at that point in 1994. I read his column all the time. If you read my work, you know I love writing about random things. That's where I got that format from because I was obsessed with him in the 90s. And to see my dad do that to him was really funny, and he is really short in real life. And that was just, I just think it's funny that he's writing about how big someone is when he's so tiny. I don't know. Maybe no one else will find that funny, but I just find it amusing. Veteran lefty Gio Gonzalez, who actually played with the Yankees, so this is Yankees news, announced his retirement from baseball after a 13-year major league career. The 35-year-old Florida native was in camp with the Miami Marlins on a minor league deal, and he called just wearing the jersey of the Marlins one of his biggest dreams. But he said that his body was not keeping up with his mind. He offered a heartfelt thanks to the Athletics, Nationals, Brewers, White Sox, Yankees, and Marlins organizations. My heart and mind are finally at peace with my decision. Here's one last tip of the cap. I'm coming home to my wonderful family. I love you. Gonzalez was the 38th overall draft pick by the White Sox back in 2004, which, it doesn't even seem like 2004 was that long ago. We're getting to the point where people who were drafted in 2004 are retiring, and in a couple of years, people who were born in 2004 will be playing in Major League Baseball games. Gonzalez was 131-101 with a 3.70 ERA in his career with 1,860 strikeouts. Nice round number there. His wins above replacement numbers are 30.1 at Baseball Reference and 32.1 at Fangraphs. Gonzalez never won a World Series ring, but he appeared in the postseason five different times. He made the All-Star game twice. Good for him. Nice career. I know it's not easy for players to say goodbye to the sport that they've been playing since they're kids, and it's good to see him going out on his own terms. One more thing before I go about Mike Tauchman. Apparently, according to Andy Martino of SNY, this is as of 11 a.m. this morning, but of course this could change, 8 different baseball clubs have contacted the Yankees about Tauchman. Could one of those teams be the White Sox now that they're down an outfielder with Jimenez? We'll see. Because again, they're expecting him to be out 5 to 6 months. That's pretty much the whole season. I'm pretty sure that estimate is without the chance of setbacks, so if there are any setbacks, it's possible he could lose the entire 2021 season to this injury. I just checked The Wire to make sure there isn't any news that I'm missing. The Wire being Twitter, if you've listened to this show long enough, you know that I always joke that that's The Wire, because that is The Wire these days. We don't usually, you know, back when I was in college going to school for broadcasting, there was such thing as a wire, but now everyone finds out everything on Twitter. Within seconds, things are found out on Twitter. Nothing is definite yet, but it looks like it's possible Jay Bruce may have opted out. So you could see maybe the White Sox taking an interest in him and him going over there. I can't remember what the terms are of his opt-out. I think this was the date, right? It was somewhere around now where he would choose to opt out. He hasn't been hitting well in spring training. Not that that really matters, but Tauchman's doing a little better than him. Tauchman, has a track record with the Yankees. And as I said earlier, I think they have more faith in Tauchman to turn things around and do stuff for them. So we'll see what happens with Jay Bruce. One more time, tonight, Yankees playing the Phillies at 6:05 in Clearwater. The game is not on Yes, but it is on the radio, and I believe it'll be on MLB Network, but delayed. So that's it for this episode of Locked On Yankees, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'd like to remind you that you can subscribe to this show in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Radio.com, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On MLB. One more thing, if you could be so kind, please rate the podcast and spread the word about this podcast to your fellow Yankee fans. We would really appreciate it. Enjoy your Thursday, and I will talk to you all tomorrow.